Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this wonderful morning and opportunity to worship you together with a family of God. Thank you. And I just pray that your Holy Spirit would be actively at work, yes, in me to communicate this message, but in the hearts and spirits of the listeners, they might receive it, and may your word go deep in their hearts, and may you continue to transform us and make us more and more into the likeness of Christ Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. Well, if you look at your sermon notes, I'm continuing in the sermon series called Thrive with the idea of helping to connect us more deeply with God, because the premise I'm working with, what I believe so strongly, is as we continue to go deeper with God, then our lives will begin to flourish, and we can truly describe our lives as those of ones thriving. And so a lot of it is getting into the spiritual disciplines that have been from ages past, one of which is learning to connect with God through His Word. So this is part two of that particular part of this series. A couple weeks ago, I also spoke about the Word of God and how we need to study our Scriptures. And so I'm just continuing. There just was too much information to put in one sermon. My heart just aches to see you all thriving and thriving in God's Word, connecting with Him. Like I put as the key thought in the sermon notes, as we interact with God's Word, we'll come to know Him and know His will. This leads to greater intimacy with God, which is the basis of a life that is thriving. I loved Greg's children's sermon, and it was perfect. In fact, I was thinking, too, of even commenting on a similar note and just saying how many of us would want to go into Afghanistan. I just last week watched American Sniper. Anybody seen that movie? It is a hard movie to see. It is very violent, but it is an amazing depiction of the reality of what our soldiers go through and have gone through in Afghanistan. I mean, it is bloody, it is gruesome, and I don't even know if I recommend it for a lot of people because of that. But I can't even imagine, and I would challenge you to imagine, going into Afghanistan. We got some veterans here too that know what we're talking about. And going in without a helmet, without the Kevlar vest, even without a gun, rifle, they give you a knife. There you go. Go get the bad guys. I mean, what chances would you have, you know, coming out of there alive? Well, the Word of God also has been likened by the Apostle Paul as the sword of the Spirit, and it's one of our weapons. And in a similar fashion, we need to go deep with the Word of God. I put the illustration by the navigators in here of the hand, and you'll see that it shows the percentage of retention there. So, you know, when we just come and listen, say on a Sunday morning, and listen to the Word of God, if all we're doing is hearing from the Bible, our retention might be about 10%. Now, if we actually go one step further and read the Bible, all right, great, we're up 20, 25%. If we actually study the Bible, now we're getting up to about 50%. And then if we start memorizing Scripture and then go that further step where we're meditating on Scripture, to meditate on the Scripture really is when I get into a dialogue with the Holy Spirit. And His Holy Spirit, God's Holy Spirit, is communicating to me in my heart, in my spirit, the significance for my life and how to put this into practice. And when we get to that stage of meditating on the Word of God, there is a lot of retention. But all is not, all is for naught if we don't apply it. And so the Apostle James says, do not merely listen to the Word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. So when we actually apply it, we got a grip on things. But how would you feel about going into battle 10% armed? You know, if all we do is hear the Word of God now and then, a little bit on K-Love, I go to church, I tried to read the Bible, but it was confusing to me, and so I gave it up. And I hear that a lot. Well, we're like people who are so ill-equipped for the battle, and it can get a little bit scary. In my more mischievous moods, sometimes when I've taught on this, especially in a Bible study, I get a little bit mischievous, and I kind of say, okay, what we're going to do is we're going to start with Hezekiah, okay? It's one of the Old Testament minor prophets, all right? You know, you're going to find it towards the end of the Old Testament there. Hezekiah, you might not remember a lot about Hezekiah, but you'll remember that verse that so many of us remember, okay? The Lord helps those who help themselves, right? You've heard that Bible verse before, right? The Lord helps those who help themselves. That's Hezekiah 2:20, all right? And so everybody, you know, look it up, and people are just kind of looking at each other and all confused. And there is no book of Hezekiah. No. It sounds very much like Zephaniah or Zechariah, but Hezekiah was a king of Israel, not a book of the Bible. Well, again, in my mischievous mood, I sometimes trick people a little bit. And it's not to make people feel ignorant, but it's to help people to understand, wow, oh, you got me there. I was totally duped. And because of our lack of knowledge of the Bible, and by the way, that Hezekiah 2:20, the Lord helps those who help themselves, that's not in the Bible either. People quote it all the time as if it was gospel truth, and it's not. In fact, it's bad theology. God helps those who put their trust in Him, who absolutely fall back in dependence upon Him. So we got to be very careful, because we could just be taken hook, line, and sinker with untruths. And this is my concern. I see that happening left and right. And because of the lack of good foundation, there is so much deception out there, and it comes dressed in such niceness. You know, it's not like, you know, some Satanist knocks on your door, door-to-door evangelism by Satanists, you know, with just, you know, vampirish look, come join our cult. You know, no. But, you know, I was talking with somebody the other day about how, you know, this visit to her father by, you know, the Jehovah's Witnesses, and they're so nice. Yeah, they are, and the Mormons too. But you really have to understand that one of the foundational teachings of both the Mormons and the Jehovah's Witnesses is that Jesus Christ is not part of the Godhead. They dethrone Jesus, literally. So they say, well, Jesus was a son of God, just like we're all sons of God. No. No. That is not what the Bible says. Well, that's what my Bible says, they'll tell you. Right, you rewrote your Bible to say it differently. And if all of a sudden we buy into the Mormon teaching, the Jehovah's Witness teaching, by the way, they also negate the Holy Spirit. They don't believe in the Holy Spirit. That's why it's Jehovah Witnesses. They say it is Jehovah, God, and no Holy Spirit, and Jesus Christ, He was a faithful Son of God, but one among us. That gets to be real dangerous. But they're such nice people. They are. They are. You know, and one of them I was talking to, I said, yeah, I'm a minister with the Evangelical Covenant Church, and it's an offshoot of the Swedish Lutheran Church. Oh, I was raised Lutheran, he said. Really? Well, I'm thinking, I didn't say it, but I'm thinking, what did you learn there then? You didn't get a solid foundation in the Bible, otherwise you wouldn't have been swept away into this untruth. And there's a lot of that out there, people. In fact, because of this lack of foundation, a solid foundation in the Word, in truth, they say statistics are 50% of Christian youth, after graduating from high school, they go off to college, 50% of them leave the church and never go back. Wow. I love that that isn't happening in our youth group. We've got a lot of college students here, and the ones who have gone off to college are involved in churches. I know it, and I'm just blessed by that. And so I think that our level of Bible readership is pretty good here, but it can be better, okay? And that's what I'm saying. And it is so important. And you got to ask yourself, too, how important is truth to me. Because I was talking with one of the leaders of the Navigators Ministries last week, and I can't remember word for word exactly what he said, but he said, you know, everybody believes in something, and what you believe in will absolutely determine the way you live your life. Let me say it again. Everybody believes in something, and what you believe in will absolutely determine the way you live your life. So if there is deception and lies in what you believe, how are you going to live your life? And that's the danger. Do you want the truth? Do you want the full truth, unadulterated truth? Because things can get scary. The Apostle Paul was saying, you know, in the end times, the last days, the love of many will grow cold. Is our love going to grow cold? Am I going to be swept away by untruth? How many people sitting here today might not be here 3 years from now, might not be in any church? That's the thing that just puts fear in my heart. Because I love you all. I do. I haven't even been here a year. And I just... there is such love developing in my heart, really. I'm the under-shepherd. God's the shepherd. But, you know, and so I don't want anybody to be swept away by that untruth. So we need to be steeped in it. Jeremiah, in his time, it got so dangerous that actually God said this. The prophets are prophesying lies. The priests are ruling by their own authority, and the people love it that way. The people loved untruth. They didn't want it. In fact, they just flat out said to Jeremiah, stop confronting us with the Word of God. Wow. Holy cow. Well, so what? I mean, what's the big deal? What's so important about the truth and sticking with God and all that kind of stuff? Because if we don't stick with God, if we don't stand for God, I guarantee you that what's going to happen is you will be enslaved. And enslaved by sin. Now, come on. Jesus said it exactly like that. He said, let me see if I can remember it word for word. Basically, if you stick to my truth, how did he put it? If you live out my truth, if you follow through with my truth, the truth will set you free. Freedom. I mean, you know, can you thrive? Can you imagine yourself thriving as a slave? But the Pharisees responded to Jesus, what do you mean? Truth is going to say, we're not anybody's slave. And he said, if you were a slave to sin, you were a slave. If you're not with God and freed by Him, then you are never going to have a life that is thriving. We got to stick with God. Boy, if I can just... Holy Spirit, get that into our hearts. Get that into our hearts. This intimacy, this close connection with God. And through His Word, that's where we get the truth, the full truth, nothing but the truth, the Word of God that now we can meditate on, have this dialogue with the Holy Spirit, figure out, okay, how does that apply to my life in my context? God, help me figure this out. And as I do, I start walking according to His will, and I start to flourish. That's the way it works. All right. So we got the hand. I was describing that hand diagram by the Navigators. I just want to go through kind of how to study the Bible and give you three different methods. Because everybody's different. They say different strokes for different folks. Yeah. And so, you know, sometimes if it's a specific Bible study method, it just doesn't jive with some people. So I want to give you three different, very common methods. The first point I made is just in a Bible study, it can be personal, alone time with God, or corporate in a group. Both are great. Do both. We got some wonderful opportunities here for Bible studies. You ought to come out for Wednesday nights. I just keep hearing phenomenal things about Julie's study, you know, for adults. But I love that the youth are studying, have been studying Luke. I love that the little kids, the Fowlers, have been teaching them the Old Testament. I mean, from at all levels, there's just a lot of the Word of God being taught here. And I love it. We need more of it. In fact, I've been talking with the leaders. How can we offer more? All right? We'll see. But so now, let's talk about the inductive study. And I put there, too, in parenthesis, the website that you can go to, Precepts Ministry, great ministry. And I put in there the students, okay? Really, for somebody who wants to be a student of the Word, it's a great method. Put the quote right off their website. It's an investigative approach to the Bible using three basic components: observation, interpretation, and application. So why inductive? Why not deductive? Well, deductive is, you know, you're going searching after the truth and trying to deduce from the evidence, from, you know, things you see. Inductive means what you do is you're filtering everything through the lens of the Bible. And so you were establishing the Bible is truth. And so I'm going to use the Bible to be able to study and figure out what the truth is about all these different issues and all these different contexts. Okay? The inductive Bible study method. And so, you know, first stage, the observation stage. And basically, that's when you're just digging. You're digging deep, asking the five W's and H. Who, what, why, when, where, and how. You know, as you go through, you are investigating, you're searching, you're really trying to get a handle, get to really where you can really understand it. Again, if you're not familiar with this, it's great to do it in a group with people. You're marking key words and phrases. The Precepts Ministry has even symbols. They teach you how to do it. You're making lists, and you know, you're digging deep going into it. At the interpretation stage, you're starting to view the passage in its context, but then in the context of the whole, full counsel of God. And you're starting to contextualize things and bringing it into that application, guiding us into that application mode where all of a sudden, and I love the quote they have on their website, once you understand what the Word of God teaches, then you are obligated before God to accept that truth and to live by it. Anyway, I'm not going to go there. All right, so that inductive Bible study is a wonderful way of being able to really draw out of the Word of God so much of the marrow and to fill your heart with truth. Now, that's, like I said, for the student. Now, a lot of people, I would call them more kind of that mystical kind of breed of person. They're the ones who are the daydreamers. Oftentimes, they're the artistic ones, real artsy. And by no means am I saying, you know, that they are superficial or any. In fact, they're very deep. In fact, they can focus on a truth and just savor it for weeks. One short Bible verse, or I mean, even just focusing on one word and just meditating. And looking at it from all different angles, like a diamond, seeing, you know, how the light shines that different way. Those are the mystics. And there's a wonderful Bible study method called Lectio Divina. And again, I put a website there, soulshepherding.org, that would help you with that. Even I love the way the Gospels are written, because if you're someone who just absolutely loves and adores the Gospel of John, very likely you're a mystic. Okay, John was a mystic. He was also the one that wrote the book Revelation. Now, wasn't that kind of a little far out sometimes? I mean, you're reading through that and all the imagery and everything. You know, John was very mystical. And so I find that if I'm talking with somebody trying to convince them to try reading the Bible for the first time, if I can get a gauge that maybe they're more of that artistic, artsy side, try reading John. You know, if they're a real business person, just give me the facts, give it to me, right? Short, concise, you know. Somebody who loves the book with the one-minute manager. Read Mark, okay? You know, just boom, 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 you know. Luke, you know, he's for the ones who are scientists, because he was a doctor. So he's very precise in how he researched and got all the information and brought it together, you know. So different strokes for different folks. So if you're more that mystical kind of person, that Lectio Divina is a wonderful way of reading short texts, short passages of Scripture, and just letting it wash over you and wash over you and wash over you. Really neat Bible study method. One that I've been using, actually, and I call it the Professor, because it was Professor Horner's, Grant Horner's Bible study method. And if you go on online, you'll find it there. And what I did is I actually put and had Judy make up some bookmarks. And you'll see those in your bulletins. So here's the idea. This is the way Professor Horner would put it. And he developed this method where you divide up the whole Bible into 10 different sections. Right? His method is you would read one chapter from each section every day. Oh my goodness, 10 chapters a day? That's overwhelming. Yeah, it would seem that way. You know, and so this is for somebody who has an hour to be able to do this. And sometimes if you break it up during the day, hey, what about 4 15-minute periods? You know, you might be able to do that. And he just says, but kind of just do a cursory reading of each chapter. Don't go deep, he says, but you'll see how all of a sudden, it's almost like magic, but it's actually the Holy Spirit, starts weaving together that chapter you read out of Leviticus with that chapter you read out of 1 John. But all of a sudden, it said something similar in the Psalms, and then the Proverbs, and you know, way back, the prophet Isaiah, and all of a sudden things, this common theme starts to emerge. And it's actually very cool. The thing I like about it is, you're able to get the full orb, the full spectrum of the Bible each time you sit down, all right? Because oftentimes, if you're just studying out of the Old Testament, oh, wow, that can get a little bit intimidating. And certainly when we get into Leviticus, that's one of the books I'm reading right now through this system. And whew, you know, gets a little bit tough, a little thick, a little hard. Here's my suggestion, though, okay, especially if you're new to this. And if you're just saying, okay, you convinced me, I want to try reading my Bible. Do this. I said it last week. Just focus on the New Testament for a while, okay? Develop a mastery with the New Testament. So don't even bother with any of the Old Testament. That means now you only have 4 sections to read. And if you only get through 2 chapters today, it's okay. I mean, there's grace. It's not like, oh, I gotta stay till midnight now. Don't worry about it, all right? But just read through, and so what you're going to read through is sections 1, 3, 4, and 10. So 1, that's the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all right? 3 and 4, Professor Horner has divided up the different epistles throughout the Bible. And then in 10, it's the book of Acts, okay? So, you know, just stick with those 4. But as you do, watch for that weaving, that coming together, and how the Holy Spirit can reveal some particular truth that'll peg you. And really, if you're doing this right, and if you pray ahead of time, simple prayer, God, okay, talk to me, speak to me, I'm wide open. God loves to hear that prayer, and He will respond in spades, and the Holy Spirit really will start to teach, start to reveal, and start to just wow you with what He will say in your heart to you through the Word of God. And it can absolutely be revolutionary. All right? So, last thing I was going to say too, just to kind of end, and I'm only going to end with part one of this story because it's just going to be too long of a story, all right? But I feel that too often, and especially with the Word of God, it's like we're playing marbles with diamonds here. I mean, the way we disparage the Word of God, treat it so flippantly. Yeah, my Bible. Yeah. Oh, it's over there. Yeah, gathering dust. Okay. In so many cultures, this is the Word of God, and it is so precious. In fact, in 52 nations, this book is illegal. The governments in 52 nations have condemned this book. And so when you get a believer in one of those countries, it is absolutely precious, and they would give anything to have one. In fact, oftentimes on the black market, they will give a month's salary easily or more to get one. It's precious. And so we're playing marbles with diamonds. I had the opportunity when I was a college student, I went to and studied overseas in Sweden on an exchange program, and it was very cool because we took a trip to Russia. This was 1988. So if you know your history, that was during the Cold War, towards the end of the Cold War, but there was still a lot of friction between the United States and Russia. Now, in Russia, as a communist country, this book is illegal. Okay? And so We heard about how you could try and smuggle Bibles into Russia on that trip. So many of us students, we decided we're going to do it. Right? So I remember going down in a store in Jönköping, Sweden, and finding a little pocket version of the Russian New Testament. And so had a Bible cover like this, and simply in my American English Bible, I just tucked it away in the pocket here, right? Okay. And so it was very cool. Our religion professor found out, he knew. He said, "I understand," in the Swedish accent, "that many of you are planning on smuggling Bibles into Russia. You therefore need to learn the Bible smuggler's prayer. And it is quite simple. It is this: Lord, when you were here on earth, you made many blind men see. Now if you could make some seeing men blind for a little while." It was the Bible smuggler's prayer, all right. So here we were, we started out and went from Jönköping to Stockholm, took an overnight ferry over to Finland, to Helsinki, and then from Helsinki we got on a train and we started to travel toward what was back then Leningrad, which is now St. Petersburg, reverted back to that name. So on our way on the train, we get to the border of Russia, and soldiers got on. And they got on to check things out and inspect, some of the passengers' things. Out of the, 20 people in our group, that soldier picked me. So, I bring down my suitcase and, and he's going through and he's being extremely thorough, checking, with it sliding through his hand, trying to see if there's any paraphernalia or anything like that. Gets to my books, gets to my Bible, and he opens it up. And I'm standing right there looking over his shoulder. And I'm praying the Bible smuggler's prayer. Oh, yeah, in serious. And so all of a sudden, I'm watching, and as he opens it up, boom, this little blue Russian pocket Bible just slides right there. He completely ignored it. But he starts flipping through the pages, even stopping to see what's written on that piece of paper. And he hands it back to me. Does nothing. Says nothing. So all of a sudden he gets off the plane, or the train. I remember going out in the hallway. One of my fellow students is kind of like, we're all acting like we're spies or something like that. It was, kind of comical, One of the other students goes, "How'd it go? I'm just out here letting my pants dry, but I'm doing good, It was my response to him, but... So you'll have to come back next week to hear the end of the story. If God willing, if I can find it, I'll even find the picture of the guy that I gave my Bible to. It's very cool. You'll have to hear the end of the story, but please understand how precious this book is that we hold in our hands. Why is it precious? Why is it the communists would condemn it as illegal and imprison people for it? Because it's so dangerous to them. Because people that get into this word gain freedom. And that's something that a communist cannot have for their constituency, is people living freely. People that could start to think differently. Yeah, yeah. This is a precious book. And even though we live in a democracy, we need this. We need this so badly. Coming back from the mission field year after year, I kept being astounded at how the foundations, our Christian foundations, are crumbling because we're not getting into the Word of God. We're not keeping to the Word of God. And I fear, I really do fear for our country. I love it, but I fear for it because our Christian foundations are crumbling. We need to be in this Word. We need to embrace it. We need to live by it. Go deep. Go deep in the Word of God, and I guarantee you, you will find that freedom and you will thrive. God, may it be for all of us here. Amen.